البيان راديو presents the following program
presented by فرحان بن رفيع أحمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الأحد القهار، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Indeed, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala alone. We seek His help, His assistance and guidance in all things. He whom Allah tabarak wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can misguide him. And he whom Allah tabarak wa ta'ala leads astray, there is none that can guide him except through the will and permission of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala alone. And I bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Hashimi al-Qurashi was the final messenger and prophet sent to all of mankind. O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam, do not die except that you are Muslims. رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْعُقْتَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. Alhamdulillah, this is lesson 5 in our reading of Bab al-Muraqabah, the chapter of watchfulness. And this lesson, inshaAllah, will be made up of two ahadith, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى. The first hadith is extremely important, but to understand why it's in this chapter, you need the following hadith. So inshallah, that is why we are taking two hadiths in one go. Jazakallah khair wa ahsanallahu ilayk wa barakallahu feek. Now, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, الرابع, يعني the fourth narration that comes in this chapter, عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال, إنكم لتعملون أعمالاً هي أدق في أعينكم من الشعر. That you, all of you, you indulge in deeds that are as insignificant to you than a hair. وَكُنَّا نَعُدُّهَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْمُبِقَاتِ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. And we, يعني the companions, in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we considered them as deadly sins. And this is a hadith that's found in Bukhari. Feels like every loud car in the area is here today. MashaAllah. Now, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he says what Imam Bukhari rahimahullah says after this hadith. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he said that this means they are destructive sins. Now, this hadith, it shows us a reality of this ummah. It shows us a reality of this ummah. And subhanallah, the reality is that regardless of how horrific our Islamic history has been and how horrific today is, the most catastrophic thing that occurred in our history was the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the beginning of the decline. Yani, subhanallah, we think always that the early time of Islam was a time of opening and conquests. But in reality, when you look closely in history, then you will find that where the slump began is when we lost Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the beginning point of the decline. Now, where do we see this? Who was this hadith narrated by? Who did I say? Anyone? Anas, what's his full name? Bin Malik. Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu. Now he is considered one of the younger companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was a helper of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his life. But Anas radiyallahu anhu, when did he die? Who knows? Anyone? No one wants to take a stab at it? Okay, khalas. I'm not going to embarrass anyone today, inshallah. I hope not. But Anas radiallahu anhu, he died in the 93rd year of the Hijrah. So 93 years after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that's when he died. And he died at the age of 103. He died at the age of 103. So Anas radiallahu anhu, he lived over 80 years, close to 82 years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this gives us a very unique perspective of someone who lived alongside an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he saw the interactions that an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with the rest of the companions, and he also lived a life with the companions, and then he lived a life where then after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, slowly the companions one by one began to die, and slowly from being the majority of the people, they became the minority. The Sahaba at that time, near the end of Anas radiallahu anhu's life, they became the minority. In what sense? The majority of the population were who? New Muslims, or second generation or third generation Muslims, right? But subhanallah, those who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were now becoming a small amount, and they were became a very unique breed, right? They became very unique in their status. So this gives us a very unique perspective of how the difference was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not even 100 years. Right? Because he lived 82 years almost after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it gives us, you understand what we're getting at? He lived the time then, and he lived majority of his life after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, subhanallah, what was the issue? And this is something that he saw then and we see now. Right? And we're going to look at this very carefully, inshallah. But things that were seen as insignificant in the eyes of the Sahaba in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were like deadly. Okay? And I want you to think of something. Like back in the day, certain diseases, they were like smallpox, right? Anyone heard of smallpox back in the days? Anyone a bit older? No? No, chickenpox, smallpox. So. It was seen as extremely deadly back in the days. Yani, I believe like some of my father's siblings, multiple of them, passed away because of this back in the days, right? But now because of the vaccines and all that type of stuff, it's not seen as bad as some of the more modern contagious diseases. Right? Now, subhanAllah, so something back then, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, is seen as deadly, and now it's seen as nothing. Right? It's like something that you can kind of relate to. Back in the day, someone had COVID, you think, oh, well, right now we got COVID, khalas, what have she? You got COVID, what's that? Right? So think of it like that. But subhanAllah, in the matters of religion, we all know this to be true, that we see things sometimes as it's just haram. It's not that bad. It's not that deep. It's not that deep. It's not that bad. And subhanAllah, if we look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his death, I want to look at a few things. Firstly, as a creedal issue, right? In matters of aqeedah. The beginning of the mind and logic being taken rather than the Quran and the Sunnah as being the foundation of religion. So for instance, we had early Qadariyah. After the death of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if someone was to look at the early hadiths that we have, early Qadariyah began. What's the Qadariyah? People started to think too deeply where their mind had no business going, and they started to saying this concept of Qadar is problematic. It goes against our mind. Because how can Allah write things and we're here? How doesn't make sense. There's no qadar. And so this happened around the time of the Sahaba, right? They came to Ibn Umar, some people, and said, there are people back where we came from. They're saying there's no such thing as qadar. And so he said, tell them they're not from me and I'm not from them. They got nothing to do with me. But what happened is that people thought that they were more intellectual than the Sahaba. And they went so far and they lost their Islam. And so, subhanAllah, then after that, yani around that same time, you had the early Khawarij. The early Khawarij. And so, subhanAllah, these were people who were sincere. Sincere individuals. But the majority of them did not have firm knowledge. And the majority of them did not study at the hands of the Sahaba. The majority of them. And subhanAllah, because of shallow knowledge that they had, and they had amazing quotes, but no understanding behind the quotes, like a lot of people today. And what happened is they ended up killing Sahaba. So we have, subhanAllah, people thinking that they were more pure and more pious than the Sahaba. And they're not even Sahaba. But they think they're better than the Sahaba. Then, subhanAllah, you had the early Rawafid, right? The early Shia. And they put emotion before authority. And subhanAllah, they placed importance in things and they went into extremes. And subhanAllah, they were thinking, they were giving more pledges of allegiance to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam than the Sahaba. Then you had, subhanAllah, yani, part of this, you had early Murji'ah, the early people of Irja, which was basically a emotionally reactionary reaction to the Khawarij. Khawarij is saying one side, you do one sin, you leave the fold of Islam. And then these guys are saying, even if you do every sin under the sun, it doesn't affect you. You're still a mu'min. As long as you're a believer, you're a believer. So one extreme, right? One group goes into extremes. And subhanAllah, they go into another extreme. And subhanAllah, I want you to think about all of these points. All of them are still here today. We have people that when something happens, they go into an emotional, extreme reaction to public events. Regardless of Islam, they have a reactionary mindset and they leave Islam or they leave the main tenets of Islam just to make sure that they fit in the time that they're in. Or you have people who go into extremes when it comes to, for instance, the Rawafid, going off emotion rather than going off what is established in the text. Then you have the youth, where some narrations say about them, Hudatha'ul Asnan, Sufaha'ul Ahlam. Young teeth, but stupid in their imagination. Right? And so you have this youth that is very eager to do something for Islam, and they find amazing quotes, and they find people to rival them up, like to give them some energy. And what happens? They go into extremism. And when we say that, yani, the blood of the ummah becomes cheap. And we've seen this through Islamic history for over 1,400 years. To the point where, just like the Khawarij of before, they killed the Sahaba and they thought, imagine someone killing Ali ibn Abi Talib, right? And thinking he's doing something good. Imagine saying Alhamdulillah. Not like all praise be to, like, no one's saying Jesus on me. He's saying Alhamdulillah. Hafiz of the Quran. Right? Hafiz of the Quran. You have all these types of problems. But this is the problem when you have knowledge without understanding. And so, if we look very carefully, it started on then and it's just become much, 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 much worse now. But that's the point of decline. And so, subhanAllah, you also had early Mu'tazila, like near the end of this time of the companions, where people started to go and read Greek logic, Greek philosophy, and they had an inferiority complex, and they tried to input that into Islam. And so, subhanAllah, again, all of these things, whenever there's a new ism, someone tries to go into extreme and be like, Islam is more feminist than feminism itself. Islam is more this, more than this itself. Right? Whatever ism comes. And you see this time and time again, where people have an inferiority complex, and what happens is they cause more problems than they fix. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fix our affairs. But this is looking at a creedal way, in a way of aqeedah. However, this hadith, this athar, Anas radiallahu anhu, who was he talking to? Was he talking to the heads of the deviants? No, he was talking to the individuals of the ummah. He was talking to the individuals of the ummah, to the aam, right? To the public. And so this is something that we find even worse today. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, Ya Rabb. The issue he had predominantly was the physical implementation of Islam in a day-to-day way. And so, subhanAllah, this was an address to the normal people, to their normal obligations which they had squandered. And so if we look at other reports by Anas radiallahu anhu himself, as found in like Bukhari and other places. For instance, a tabi'i, he came to Anas radiallahu anhu, and Anas radiallahu anhu was crying in Damascus. And so he says, ما يبكيك? The tabi'i says, what is making you cry? And then he says, قال لا أعرف شيئا مما أدركت إلا هذه الصلاة. He says, I can't recognize anything that I saw before, meaning in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except the prayer. Meaning this entire religion, you guys have just left everything and all you have is this prayer. And then he says, وَهَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ قَدْ ضُيِّعَتْ. He goes, this prayer itself has been abandoned even. Even the prayer has been abandoned. Now subhanAllah, this is how many years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Not even a hundred. And this is one of the companions that is closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, I can't recognize what you guys are doing. Why? It's because a lot of things that the Sahaba saw as big, these guys, the people around him that he was seeing, they saw it as small. And so subhanAllah, where did Imam Bukhari rahimahullah put this hadith? In the chapter of abandoning the prayer and delaying its time. You see with the links, right? That he's saying this hadith, why it was said about the practically the biggest issue facing our Muslim ummah today on a practical level that no one thinks is an issue of the five daily prayers being abandoned, not being prayed on time. No one has a problem of waking their kid up at 7:30 to wake them up for school, get them ready for school, and not wake them up for Fajr. Like it feels like that is not a big of a deal. No one has an issue with like skipping Fajr or combining prayers without a due reason. And all of these types of issues, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that serious. But the Sahaba, they used to see it as what? Destructive. As if it was death upon them. As if this would be the thing that would ruin them. As if this was the thing that be the end line and now this is it. We're finished. And he's saying, you guys see it as nothing, like a hair, smaller than a hair. But the Sahaba that I was with, they used to see it as destructive sins. And so how many things like that is now prevalent today? Like, subhanAllah, يعني, anywhere in the world you go today, riba is rampant and all these problems are rampant. But subhanAllah, it's seen as a non-issue. It's seen as a non-issue. But subhanAllah, the Sahaba, they were different. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them. Yani subhanAllah, the Sahaba, they had a few differences between us. They ensured to stay away from that which was haram. And they ensured to do everything the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon. And that's what gave them the honor and the dignity and the status from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for us, it's just a sunnah. It's just a sunnah. The most despicable sentence that has ever been said in the history of Islam. It's just a sunnah. The foundation of your la ilaha illallah, it's just a sunnah. It's like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent for what? It's just a sunnah? How dare you? This is something that's extremely, extremely dangerous, my brothers and sisters. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, ya Rabb. Now, يعني, if the Sahaba were here today, right, if that was 100, not even 100 years after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, what about today? 1,400 plus years after the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, riba is common in every country. In every country. Zina in every form is rampant in every country. Right? Eating haram is common. Drinking haram is common. Music is common. All the things that we see on a day-to-day level, people think, it's just one time. It's one song. Right? It's diminishing and belittling sins. And so subhanAllah, yani when we tell people today, right, in now, We tell them, don't put music in your weddings. Just don't do that, at least. Right? They say, but it's only one day. It's only one day. Right? To start off your marriage in that way. It's only one day. Is this not belittling your sin? You have on your neck every sound that was heard by every guest that attended your function. It's on your neck. You facilitated this gathering of haram. Starting your marriage in this way, you think that's the way to start your nikah and your walima? You think that's the way to start off your marriage? Wal-iyadu billah? What are you expecting from the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are you expecting? Marriage is already hard enough. Right? Marriage is not easy. It's not like a walk in a park where everyone's like taking Instagram videos every day. It doesn't work like that. Ask anyone who's married, the oldies especially, ask them, right? They look like they've just given up. They're thrown in the towel like 60 years ago. But subhanAllah, yani, you're starting it with the anger and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have much hope for your sakina and your sense of sukoon in the home. Right? Your problems and dramas that are happening, she's saying 1, 2, and 3, think about why. Right? Think about why. What's the issue? What's the fundamental root of this issue? The anger of Allah, the ghadab of Allah. What do you think is going to come from that? A happy and blissful marriage? And the worst thing, wallah, I keep coming back to this. If you did all that, you had the worst wedding in the world. Yeah, like full dance party, DJ, all that stuff, right? The sparkling, sparkle thingy jiggy, right? Whatever it's called, what is it? Sparks. Fireworks, right? I thought there was a special word for it, but whatever, bro. Now, you had all of that, right? Dry ice, looking like Undertaker came in or something. You, all of that, right? You did all that. And then you're saying, Sheikh, there's no problem in my life. My life's going hectic. There's no problem in my life. My life is mad. I had the best wedding. I had the best honeymoon. I came back, everything. Two options. One, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saving a punishment for you that's deserving for you and it's coming. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ. Right? We let them go. Imla. We let them go. Why? You got a punishment waiting for you there. Allah doesn't want to punish you here. He's saving it for you there. How many people have been tested by children that are disobedient because of their previous sins? And then them not making proper tawbah. I've seen people, subhanAllah, yani you know them from like when you're young and you see them. And you know the haram they're up to, right? Especially when it comes to money, right? Especially in our areas, dealing, right? And you see them, they've got cars, they got flashy, this, that. And then you see when their children grow up. I've seen a son beat up the dad. Just hearing that is like the most disgusting thing that you can hear, right? But then if you don't know the history, you feel sorry for the dad. But then you think, how many children did this person poison in the community with drugs? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine justice. Subhanallah, wallahu alam. Allah knows best. That's azab qabla al-azab. If you didn't seek proper tawbah, you've taken how many mothers did you destroy their lives? By selling that which is haram. How many mothers cried themselves to sleep because you were selling gear to their children? Right? This is a problem that's facing our community. No one's talking about it. Right? And this is all, subhanAllah, you think, oh, it's just 50 bucks. One guy said, Sheikh, I'm a recreational dealer. I don't get anyone hooked on it. It's just soft drugs. I don't give anything hard. SubhanAllah, right? It's belittling the sin. It's just recreational, Sheikh. If I see someone getting too addicted, I say I can't deal for you anymore, Sheikh. Wallahi al-azim, someone has told me this in the area. Right? What is this? Yani, you're a mu'min as a drug dealer? Like, doesn't. Right? This is a problem. But it's belittling the sin. Now, subhanAllah, yani, we have to understand a few things, right? Small sins lead to big sins. Big sins, yani small sins, not just one time even, continuous small sins will lead to bigger sins. Okay? Bigger sins, the kaba'ir, the major sins, what they do is they will destroy your heart and they will kill it. And then you have people who don't care. They are listening and they're like, yeah, I'm going to go deal after this. And what? Right? SubhanAllah, we have told people, like, just stop it now. Right now. We will give you money. Just stop now. Right? This is, I remember one brother was with me and he was like, I'll take care of your needs, whatever you need. He's like, nah, sack, I can't. Right? SubhanAllah, there are some people that just, it's a heart that's hard now. It's finished. It's just completely sealed. So my brothers and sisters, yani, this is not just with drug dealing, right? That's just one example. Talking to girls. You got a lot of shabab here. Talking to girls. You think that it's nothing. It's just one girl. It's just a message. It's just a picture. It's just talking. It's just a chat. It's just a phone call. It's just, and keeps going. I'm just meeting up with. I'm just. It's only one time. At least it's not with a lot of people. You keep belittling the sin. And where's the end result? Small sins lead to big sins. Big sins lead to your heart being destroyed. It's just simple equations. There's no hidden. There's nothing else. Now, subhanAllah, in Sahih al-Bukhari, يعني عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه, he says, إن المؤمن يرى ذنوبه كأنه قاعد تحت جبل. That a believer, he sees his sins as if they are a mountain and he's sitting under it. يعني imagine a mountain on top of your head. A believer, he sees his sins like that. He's seeing it as if it falls, I'm finished, gone completely. This mountain is going to take care of me, completely finished. And subhanAllah, he says, يَخَافُ أَنْ يَقَعْ عَلَيْهِ, يعني he's scared that it's going to fall on him. Who said this? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And then he says, وَإِنَّ الْفَاجِرِ, as for the wicked one, the corrupt one, يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَذُوبَابِ, he sees it as if they're just a fly. مَرَّ عَلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ, he sees it as like a fly just passing his nose. Right? He just sees it as something insignificant, belittling the sin. Whereas a believer, subhanAllah, even the Yahud, قَبَّحَهُمُ اللَّهِ, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them what they deserve. يعني, subhanAllah, even them, they had a mountain on top of them, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took covenants upon them. Yes? And they accepted. They're like, yeah, okay, we'll accept. And then when the mountain was moved, then they went back to what they are. But subhanAllah, you have mountains of sin upon you. We all do. Who do you think you are if you don't have a mountain living in this country, in this age? Who do you think you are? You have sins like mountains, not one. It's on top of you. It's going to crush you. But you just... Right? SubhanAllah, you see the mountain, you're like, yeah, and what? It's just a fly. SubhanAllah, this is a very big problem of belittling our sins, and we do this constantly. Constantly, we don't care. Now, subhanAllah, how many gatherings in our homes and our restaurants and our, yani, when we go out with the boys and we go out with the girls, when we go to people's houses, how many of these conversations are filled with ghibah? Talking about people with things that are true, but they just don't like it. Things that are true, they just don't like it. The person that you're talking about, you know that if he was here, you wouldn't say it. Right? Things that he wouldn't like being said about him. And how many are filled with buhtan, just straight up slander and lies? How many of these gatherings are there, sometimes hours, just talking about this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, and subhanAllah, no one bats an eyelid that we just did 4 hours of sin, eating flesh of like our brother who was dead. Hours of sin. But nothing. Right? Belittling the sin. Now subhanAllah, how does this relate, this hadith, that we used to see these things as destructive sins, you guys see it as smaller than a hair. How does it relate to muraqabah? What's this got to do with Allah is watching us? What's this got to do? And then we understand the next hadith that comes. The fifth hadith of the chapter, this is يعني, a hadith that is mind-boggling. Wallah, if you understood about the ghira of Allah, the ghira of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith, you're not gonna, yeah, and you understand why 1 + 1 = 2. Now over here, it was narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has a protective jealousy and an honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a protective jealousy and an honor. Of what? Yani, what is it? The protective jealousy and honor of Allah is provoked when the believer does something that Allah has forbidden. When the believer does something that Allah has forbidden. Now this is a divine sifa of Allah, ghira, ghiratullah. Right? the divine jealousy and protectiveness and the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we affirm this attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't say that the protective jealousy of Allah is like the protective jealousy of ourselves. We don't say this. We say that it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that befits His majesty. But we affirm it completely, because this is, we have this hadith of the ghira of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set laws. He has set commands. He has set that which He has ordained. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done this, it is because this is good for your dunya, it's good for your akhirah, it's good for your legacy, it's good for your today, and it's good for your tomorrow. He's done this for a reason. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden certain things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden certain things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden them because it's bad for you today, it's bad for you tomorrow, it's bad for your legacy, it's bad for your dunya, it's bad for your akhirah. Now, subhanAllah, what is important is that we find in other hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see examples of this protective honor and this protective jealousy and honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ghira of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For instance, in a hadith that's found in both Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that there is no one who has more ghira than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And he says, then when is this shown the most? When one of the female slaves or the male slaves of Allah, he commits zina. When he does this, this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ghira comes out the most. Now, subhanAllah, he says, if you knew what I knew, you would laugh little and weep much. Now, subhanAllah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says that the protective jealousy of Allah, what does it mean? What does it mean? We say the ghira of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? It implies hatred and resentment of that which is evil. Hatred and resentment. He says this in Sawa'iq al-Mursala. He says this is a hatred. Ibn al-Qayyim, he says this is a hatred, the ghira of Allah. What does it mean? A hatred of that which is evil. And subhanAllah, this is something that's extremely important. Now there is a link between this hadith and the hadith before. You belittle sins. But you could do something that is extremely, extremely deadly. And this incurs the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what is going to stop you from sinning is when you understand constantly and remind yourself that Allah has a ghira. Allah has a protective jealousy and honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates for you to do that which is evil. And this is supposed to be a measuring stick and a reminder at the forefront of your head to stay away from that which is haram. Because you understand Allah is watching you. Why is that a big thing? Is because Allah has a ghira. Allah has this protective jealousy. He has this honor that Allah hates for you to do, even though you know it's bad, you do it. You do something that's bad for you, you do it. And this means not even doing that which is obligatory upon you. So imagine, if someone wanted to go outside and he remembered that Allah has this honor and protective jealousy, that Allah becomes angry when you don't do that which He wants from you. Then when someone comes in front of you and you want to look, you remind yourself that Allah will become angered because He has His ghira. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has this protective jealousy. When you want to cheat someone, right, and do something in trade, then you remind yourself that Allah has a ghira. That the ghira of Allah is real. And that He has an anger. That this protective jealousy, He does not want to see this. He does not want to see this. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you try to harm His honor, what hope do you have in this world? And what hope do you have in the akhirah? Imagine you dishonoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who says, no one has more ghira than me. No one has more ghira than me. And you're dishonoring Him. You're going to do what is the thing that causes the ghira of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show? What is it? Sin. That which Allah dislikes. That is what you have to stay away from. So this is part of muraqabah. Part of being watchful part of being mindful that Allah is watchful over me. Does that make sense? Is everyone with me? I feel like you guys, like in the last 3 minutes, I lost half of you. I'm feeling it. Who wants to go now? Khalas? You guys put your hands up without putting your hands up. I felt it. Now, what is the ghira of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is it? Sins? What's the ghira of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does it mean? Huh? A protective jealousy and honor. When does it show? Sin. Right? When does it show? When a believer sins. Now subhanAllah, the worst from that which has been mentioned is zina. Is zina. And even worse than this is what? Who can tell me? We're going steps. No, steps is still one closer. Huh? No. Lawat. Homosexuality. Right? If this is bad, that's even worse. Right? All the way to when someone does shirk. To the point where the skies want to rupture. Right? The skies want to rupture. They want to burst from the statement that Allah has a son. That's how evil this statement is. Now subhanAllah, we have to ensure constantly that we do not belittle sin. Because this is something that now has become يعني, widespread. And not just sinning. Sinning is one thing. And then the next problem is when you promote and show your sin to others. How? How is that becoming the case? How? Huh? Social media. TikTok, right? The cancer of the ummah. TikTok and Instagram and Facebook is the easiest way you can belittle sins. How? You're putting sin out there. Look at me, I'm sinning. I'm listening to music. I'm doing this. I'm swearing. I'm whatever it is. And you're saying, oh, it's literally by your action, you're belittling your sin. You don't care. You don't care. Your actions show that you don't care. So now, something that we have to constantly remind ourselves is that this is one of the things that we have to, one of the concepts that we have to live with. The ghira of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real. And the ghira of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows when the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are crossed. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.